I see you down there. Hey, buddy. I can hold your attention this morning. I think in our minds we'll be going with Harley on a ski trip with that good picture there. Well, let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 8. As the Weirmans have reported, that's the book of the Bible being translated into this new language. And it's a good book for that. It tells a lot about the Lord Jesus in the book of Mark. How is it that you do not understand? That's the reason we give them the scriptures, so they can understand. But Jesus dealing with his disciples or dealing with our lives, how is it we often do not understand? Father, we pray as we come to your word this morning, you'll indeed help us to see Jesus Christ. And Lord, your work in our lives. And Lord, build our faith and help us, Lord, to magnify your Son. We pray this church, and we pray our individual lives will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we can hardly wait for eternity when our old natures will all be gone. We'll all be perfect in heaven. And when we are glorifying the Lord, there won't be one resistance in all of our willpower, all of our nature, everything about us will give you the praise that you deserve. But Lord, that's our heart this morning, our desire. So we pray, Lord, help us in our hearts, in our lives, in our focus to glorify your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to reconsider just a few of the points up to this point. Verses 1 through 8, Jesus took 5 small loaves and a few fish. He fed 4,000 people. Verse 8, there were enough baskets left over, 7 large baskets, big baskets, large enough to feed, to hold a full-grown man, to feed a lot of people. Verses 11 and 12, Jesus is attacked by the Pharisees. They reject him. They want to demand that he perform some kind of miracle from the heavens to prove that he's the Messiah. verse 13, and he left them and entering into a ship again departed to the other side. Jesus just refuses to play their games. And so with his disciples, he sails away. Verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So the disciples now, they still have bread on their minds. They'd forgotten to bring bread for themselves. So you can kind of imagine, I think, their thoughts, like, oh, brother, you know, we had seven huge baskets full of bread back there, and we forgot to bring enough bread to feed ourselves. Now we're hungry. We don't have enough bread to feed us. And I'm glad the Bible records, you know, functions like this, because we feel better about ourselves to know, you know, I'm not alone on this. I failed too. It's full of drama here about one loaf of bread, long boat ride. We only have one loaf of bread, and there's a whole bunch of us. How are we going to work this out? Jesus knows what they are thinking, and so he uses their own forgetfulness as an opportunity to teach them some much-needed lessons. He teaches us some much-needed lessons. It'll help us if we can eavesdrop in on their conversation and hear what they learn from the Lord. So observe the lessons here. How is it that you do not understand? We need this, don't we? Sometimes we too just don't get it. Well, you find the Lord's command in verse 15. He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So he warns them about leaven, about the Pharisees, and about Herod. They're worried about a loaf of bread, and Jesus wants to use what had just happened, feeding the people, about the Pharisees, and here's some deeper truths. And he uses the term leaven here, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. So they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Well, we stop for a moment and we see, you know, here's problems. Often as people get together reasoning among ourselves, we can have all kinds of committees to discuss it and everything else. And we're prone that way as human people. But first thing we need to do is stop and pray. First thing we need to do is consider the Lord. They need to stop and think, now wait, who's standing right in front of us? Well, it's Jesus. All you need to do is to say, pardon me just a minute here. What do you mean exactly? Ask the Lord. But they go, oh man, we're just really bummed out. We didn't bring enough bread. And so, you know, they're talking among themselves. But Jesus is talking about leaven, and this leaven as used in the Bible as the sign of evil, which permeates through the whole thing. And so when the Bible is used to speak about leaven, speaks about evil, beware of the leaven. What's leaven do? Leaven spreads quickly. The leaven of the Pharisees and leaven of Herod. Now leaven is a word for yeast, and you know, yeast is added. Ladies know more about this. Added to the dough to make it rise. So it feeds on the dough. The bacteria gives off a gas and causes the bread to rise. So yeast, you know, can lie dormant for a long time. But then with the first hint of moisture, then it comes to life and begins to work. And what happens then, it will fill the whole lump of dough, causing the dough to ferment. The fermentation then is the first step of decomposing. And then, you know, the thing though that can stop this from happening is extreme heat. And so the yeast is exposed to the fire, then it dies. So in the Bible here, it's a picture of sin, the wickedness, the corruption in the hearts of men. We are commanded, 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. So lay aside the evil, lay aside the spiritual corruption, and turn to the Lord, live for the Lord. And we're warned then too in the next verse, verse 6, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So it spreads like sin, like a yeast or leaven. Tolerate a little bit of sin in our lives, and it'll soon infiltrate your whole life, destroy your spirituality. So Jesus is warning the disciples here about the leaven of evil influences, like the Pharisees, like Herod, Then we might ask, then, what is that? What is the leaven of the Pharisees? It's defined for us in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So it's this religious people majoring on the externals, does not change your heart. They claim to love the Lord, but they're fakes and phonies, infiltrating their lives with corruption, just like yeast, corrupting then others as well. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So Jesus warns, here's the danger of a hypocrisy of the heart. You just got a lot of religion. There's a lot of that today. A lot of religion. Nothing for the heart. And we all struggle in some way with hypocrisy, the sense of getting distant or cold from God. And so it's easy to pretend, you know, everything is well between me and the Lord. We get to be masters of pretending. But Jesus is warning here, this is the hypocrisy of hearts. We need to be sure that we are everything we claim and look to be. So in Matthew's account, Jesus is saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, or the teaching. They're religious legalists. That's who the Pharisees are. Legalism. Just do this, do that, spread like yeast, spread like cancer through God's people. Then Luke's account about this hypocrisy, religious and put on airs, legalistic hypocrites, and then of Herod, you know, the Herodians, they tried to change the spiritual atmosphere politically. And so it's like today in a lot of ways, political agendas, political parties, candidates. Well, Jesus says, beware of that. And I'm glad, you know, I wasn't in this boat. A lot of people say, and we do too, wouldn't it be great to be alive when Jesus was alive? But if we're in that boat, like we're hanging out with the disciples, believe me, I'd miss the point too. So I'd hate to be, wouldn't you hate to be, you know, rebuked by Jesus? You know, hey, you dudes, are you that clueless? You cannot figure this out? You need to remember, but you don't, because your hearts are hardened. And so here's the followers of Jesus Christ. You know, we can have hardened hearts too. That's one of the biggest problems in a spiritual life. But it's tied to something, Jesus says. It's tied to the leaven of Herod, Matthew 16:6. And here's the same events in Matthew. Jesus calls it the leaven of the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives. The Sadducees were the religious liberals, worldly, secular. In fact, they joined forces with Herod, called Herodians. So here's the leaven that had infiltrated their lives, teachings, and they're full of worldliness and materialism, compromise. I just wrote, you know, this thing about present day. You know, Kate Smith, as she's saying, God bless America, the original singing of that, started it this way. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer leading into God bless America. So my question is, why should God bless America? Because modern America has become an abortion-killing, Hollywood-perverting, God-mocking, Israel-hating, military-weakening, ally-betraying, enemy-financing, home-destroying, education-corrupting, justice-denying, heritage-despising, globalism-pursuing, cult-expanding, ministry-begging, Muhammad-loving, drug-using, sex-abusing, crime-enabling, honor-losing, repentance-mocking land of hedonistic fools. That's what America, in my mind, has become today. God, if God does not directly destroy America, we have all the potentials in our foolishness and our sin in America to destroy ourselves. And yet Abraham of old prevailed in prayer for Sodom, down to 10 people, figuring at least there'd be 10 people there, and God was willing to answer his prayer for 10 people. There were not 10. But we need believers today who will prevail in prayer. Now, Jesus, he warns about all this materialism, all this focusing on the world, like America is headed that direction. Jesus warns his men not to get caught up in this desire for the world's goods and the world's favor, because God says, James says, he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James 4:4. So the Lord's will is to separate from the world. Live as strangers and pilgrims in this world. 1 Peter 2:11. Not to be caught up in this world. Everything this world has to offer. America's very worldly. So here's what we're commanded in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So here we can seek, you know, either the treasure of the world or the treasure of heaven. Jesus said, Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, America, 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 don't we wish, don't we pray for that kind of awareness here in America? Jesus saying, regardless of the age in which you live, beware of this hypocrisy. Beware of this worldliness. Beware of compromising to allow just a little bit of that in until it will infiltrate every area of your life. It's just a simple command: be clean, be holy, be different. And the Lord hasn't changed his mind. He still expects us to live differently. So you find the disciples' confusion then in verse 16. They reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So the disciples hear the warning of the Lord, and then they immediately misunderstand. I have done that. I took super glue this last week. I was laying in bed, reaching on a bedstand. I just put super glue on my finger to take care of a crack, turned out the light. In the light, reached out for this tube, got the wrong tube, got the super glue again instead of my eye drops, and I put super glue in my eye. Thank God for Cheryl's buzzing us down to the VA hospital to get my eyelids apart and to snip down on my eyelashes to pull them back apart. And wow, did that ever burn? But the cornea's all scratched up. You know, it's a long night then, writhing in pain through this here type of thing. But it's all right to have two eyes. It's all right to have one. We praise God for the vision of sight. Well, I'm glad the pain is gone. And so, you know, I try to walk and just open just a few seconds, and it just hurt too bad. I shut it again. And so just a crack at a time. But, you know, eye pain, they say, is like the worst, but it's one of the fastest to heal. I'm already feeling, especially after last night, sleeping my eyes shut all night long. Feel so much better. And going back Tuesday. But then the second time in there, Steve took me. They raked that loose skin off the cornea, and I got that off there and cleaned it up a little bit. But, you know, here's the thing. I was really sincere, reaching out of bedstand, needing his eye drops. I thought, why does this burn? And then what do? Put another drop? No, wait! This is the super glue. Irina's on the phone. I got her off that phone in a hurry. And then we got a hold of Cheryl. But, you know, Jesus says, God says, Solomon said, there's a way that seems right unto a man. I mean, you're sincere. But the end thereof are the ways of death and destruction. So we have to get it right, disciples, believers, unbelievers, about what we believe. So they hear Jesus. They think of some possibilities. We think about, you know, what might they be thinking at this point? Well, he's rebuking us because we didn't bring any bread. You know, that might be one thing. Or they're saying, he's telling us not to buy bread from the Pharisees and the Herodians, Or Jesus saying that we should have no fellowship with the Pharisees and the Herodians. But none of those are the answer. Really, the bread is just a metaphor speaking of the symbol of evil. They can't grasp that. Don't get messed up with the evil of their lives. A lot of times, you know, we're just too dull as well. The Lord will try to get us to understand something. Here's His truth. And we just keep failing to get the meaning. And that's why we aren't further along in our Christian lives than we are right now. That's why we aren't more mature than we are right now, because we're missing out so many times. We struggle with the flesh. So why don't they enjoy, you know, greater victories? Why don't we enjoy greater victories in our lives? Well, many times God's trying to teach us something. We dismiss it. We do not see. We do not hear. We do not realize. God is trying to help us to grow. God is trying to teach us something. God is trying to develop us for His glory through the problems and trials of life. So, I mean, we can even come to church, have a church service, and just get so routine. And we fail to really consider God as we might, or we sing songs. We're so familiar with these songs. But we need to, you know, think about the words and the blessing here. Every song, an opportunity to offer praises to God. And so, they don't see beyond the obvious, the unseen hand of God working in their lives, and disciples never seem to get it, focusing on the material world, not seeing the spiritual work of God, and we're much the same. So God is seeking to change us and to get us to grow and develop if we're not so captivated with things around about us. So what we need to pray. Pray, God, help me to see what You're doing in my life. Help me to see the spiritual. Help me to grow. Help me to understand. And here's the Lord's command, verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto Him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 7. And He said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And so in verse 18, He's just reminding, don't you remember? Don't you remember? You know, you fail to remember God's mercies, your spiritual history. You know, put that out of your mind, then, you know, your heart becomes hardened. But stay tender. You know, and learn from the Lord. Some people get angry and bitter. You can kind of spot them in life. They're just a shadow of what they could be. Try to pastor, you know, people like that through the years, different churches. It doesn't take long to spot it. Somehow this person dealt with something in the past wrong, and so they've never shined for the Lord as they had. I mean, they didn't listen to the Lord. Here's how you deal with those sins. And they forget God's blessings. So, you know, in fact, a lot of things are easier in life if we work together. For example, making beds. Irene and I will make a bed together. First corner of the bed, man, it goes down well with those fitted sheets. The second one, yeah, it slips right on. The hardest thing, I think, is, you know, does the sheet go this way or this way? Let's go through that. But then the third one, you have to pull a little harder to get that corner down. And then you come to the fourth corner. Irene often leaves that one for me. That's the challenge. You really have to stretch it to get it over the final edge. Well, in a series of events here, you know, Jesus reminds His disciples. Mark 6, people were hungry. We fed 5,000 people. Get the idea there? They were ready to send the people away. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And then what's He doing here? He's asking them to do with their faith what we do with the fitted sheets. Try to stretch it. Try to cover this challenge. What was the outcome? Jesus says, well, they fed. They were fed. 12 baskets full. Leftovers for each one of them. And then next, you know, they're in the boat of violent storm. Jesus says, you saw me feed 5,000 one lunch. And then to stretch your faith further over this corner, remember the miracle of the storm. Oh, yeah. Well, then let's stretch our faith a little further. Let's talk about the 4,000 and how there are 7 huge baskets full of bread left over. And so Jesus is asking them, you know, think about this. finally in the boat, here we are, and you're asking about bread. And so in this discussion, you know, why are you talking about having no bread? Don't you understand yet? Are your hearts still hardened still? Don't you remember? That's what he's talking about. Don't you remember? That's a pattern of faithlessness. Yours, mine, theirs. Challenge. You know, you say it's humanly impossible. Then Jesus does what only Jesus can do. And we're amazed, but we're thankful. Thank you, Lord. And God helps our faith to grow. God helps to stretch our faith. But then here's another challenge. Can you stretch your faith far enough to cover this corner as well? And so over and over, the Lord puts it in front of us, the fourth corner situations. So the faith of yesterday, that was yesterday. You have to trust him today for those things which are big, great in your lives. So after all the bigs and greats, you know, you've seen him do before, how you should be trusting him now. You know, here's the same Lord. Jesus saying, don't you remember? I'm the same Lord. I worked the miracle of the bread, the miracle in the storm, and you got spiritual amnesia? You forget the love and power of the Lord? He says, sure, I can handle that. And we say, yes, God can handle that. But now this one is huge. This one is huge. So we come into this unnecessary worry and the complaining and, you know, talking about it, forgetting to ask God, fear and panic. But Jesus has covered what? Every corner so far. That's who Jesus is. He can cover this one too. And so he stretches our faith. Remember, expecting Jesus. Reach further than your faith has ever reached before. Touch his power more than you've ever been touched before. So that's Jesus working with his disciples. We're no different. You know, Pharisees, they missed it for sure. They're rejecting Jesus. That's their problem. Now, they refused to believe, but here's the disciples. They saw the miracles, and yet they weren't believing fully either. They couldn't understand. You know what? The one to take care of you, the one to take care of your situation, he's right here in the boat. Jesus is right before you. Praise God in our lives. I recall somebody said, which would you rather have? I thought, man, that's so profound. A warehouse full of bread, or that your father owns the bakery? Amen. Didn't they know Jesus could take that one loaf and feed them all? So one thing for unbelievers, you know, like the Pharisees, fail, you know, don't see his power, don't see his person. So Jesus, with a series of questions here, wants to awaken their faith. Remember, let us. What are you facing today? Remember what the Lord has done. And then he reminds them what the Lord can do. So Jesus has that series of questions by his creative power. How many baskets were left over? Who do you think you're dealing with? Look at the miracles. Pharisees missed his identity, wasn't enough, and refused to believe. He's God in the flesh. So it must have been frustrating, verse 21, Jesus dealing with his disciples, Jesus dealing with us and our failures. You know, look what all has been handed down to you. We might say, look at all that's been handed down to us from the Lord, from God's people, but also our failures. Their failures, our failures. We keep handing it down. So isn't that true? We're just like these men, the crisis of faith, react in fear. What do we need to do? Reflect on what he has done. Remember his power in your lives. In fact, Israel, you know, they're out in the wilderness. We're just ready to cross Canaan in Sunday school. They set up a memorial out there in the river of 12 stones in the Jordan River, Joshua chapter 4. God had parted the river. They walked through on dry ground. Each tribe placed a stone in the river, and then they're able to look back at the river, and they could see this memorial, which was a reminder to them of the great things God has done. You know, in our lives, we need some memorials like that. of his power as well. Stop and think. All the mountains God has moved in your life for you. And set up a memorial in your heart. Stop and remember, God answered your prayers over and over. And set up a memorial in your mind. And think of the peace of God and the sense of presence of God. Times he has blessed you. Wow, he has. And set up a memorial. And then, you know, the biggest memorial of all, I think, maybe. The fact that he saved you. Wow. And so the devil comes seeking you out, whispering in your ear, casting doubts. You say, look, devil, you might not have the date, but you know the experience. Look what happened back there when I took Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I shall, what's God say? Never perish. You know what that word means in the Greek? I mean, you're going to get salvation and lose it? It means never. Once you're saved, you'll never perish. That's what God has done when he saved us. Nothing greater than that in our lives. So stop, reflect, remember, realize if he can do it in those great times, he can do it many times more. There's nothing God cannot handle. And so the first step, you know, in true revival, spiritual renewal, is just remembering what God has done, seeing God in our situations. It's not about what you have. It's not about who you are. It's about who you know. So if Jesus Christ, friend, if he is in your boat, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just keep looking to Jesus. Don't worry about the bread. He will take your little, turn it into a lot. Best thing you and I can do is just keep trusting him completely, and he will never fail you. And so if there's a lack of bread, that's not our real problem. The real problem is, do we not see, do we not hear, do we not think about the things of God? The real problem is a lack of faith. Where's your faith? Will you put your faith in the problem solver when those issues can be scary? I was just writing to about, you know, America, how far we've fallen. But fallen, yes, fallen, decayed as a nation in a big way. However, for every born-again child of God, your worst day, death, is your best day to heaven. Then will America face death and devastation? What really is our hope? As the world marches to war, we have read the last chapters of the Bible. We know how it ends up. We win when we really have Jesus Christ. God has indeed blessed America, but is America blessing God? God was blessing the old America of people who revered his name. But this land as we know it today is begging the awesome judgment of Almighty God. No presidential hopeful will ever be enough to restore my hope in this land, because first of all, we need God in our lives and in our nation. So in conclusion, you know, the issue here is not, you know, just the leaven of the Pharisees and Herodians out there, but the issue of the lack of faith in the people of God. We need to comprehend what God is trying to teach us. We need to read God's word and keep our eye upon the skies. We need to believe. We need to experience his power. We need to be convinced about who we are trusting in and look to him completely. And so the Lord is challenging each one of us, examine our lives in the light of his work in us, calling us to a radical change of faith, a growth in faith. And if he can handle the what ifs of life and the hows of life, he's calling us to trust him. What about the bread? What about the single loaf of bread? Friend, he is the bread of life. Hallelujah. Who knows how to minister to you? And so God is challenging us. Set up memorials in your life. Don't forget the awesome blessings and wonders and powers and miracles and experiences and faith growing times in the Lord. Don't forget when you come to your next hurdle in the road and start looking around and saying, my goodness, how are we going to get through? God has challenged us, set up memorials. Stop, remember what he's done, challenges us, no matter what you have of the world's bread, he is the bread of life. And he urges us to purge out the leaven of hypocrisy. See, hypocrisy today Let us also examine our hearts, purge out the worldliness. My, we struggle. Purge out the worldliness of our lives. Is calling us of our need to come to Him. And there are surely matters, and He is the, well, there's needs, but He's the need meter. He's the need meter. He is my need meter for my faith every day and yours. So come while He calls you and get what He has for your life to receive. Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus. How encouraged we are again just to see how our Lord and our disciples' failures so patiently ministered to their lives, and how patient You are, Lord, with us, helping us, Lord, to grow. And God, we just praise You that we are not who we used to be. We're not as weak as we one time was. And our faith is growing, and we have the need meter right before us because we have Jesus in our boat, and we know how it's all going to end now. And we're not looking, Lord, to the United Nations or the United States. We're looking to heaven, and we're on the winning side. Thank You for our brothers and sisters here who've come to Jesus. And, Lord, we keep coming to You. Because we keep having needs. And our greatest need, simply to praise the Lord. Praise You for who You are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your hymnals to 381, please. 381. Open my eyes that I may see.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Sing stanza 2 is the last. Open my ears, open my eyes, open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth.
Open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth. The sin is clear, and while the wave does fall on mine ear,
teaching of the scriptures. Lord, we pray that You help us to be able to see what You have for us, how You're leading us, Help us to be willing, Lord, to listen to your word. Listen to your leading in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much for all you've done for us, the way you lead and guide and direct us. We ask now that you be with us through this day and bring us back safely again tonight. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.